Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D&Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight. The Buckeyes are the national champions. The Ravens dropped the ball. And Patrick Mahomes has mastered the art of getting the call. We'll begin today's show with some Hall of Fame news, right? We've got some baseball inductees. CeCe Sabathia, Ichiro Suzuki, and Billy Wagner will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Z, do you have any issue with this draft class?
Joining Dick Allen and Dave Parker, who were nominated, who were elected on the independent ballot. So, yeah.
Is that the player's ballot?
Yeah.
It's player ballot?
Yeah.
It's player ballot.
So that is a, that's a good class. Like, that's a very, very good class. Allen and Parker, long overdue. You can't argue with CeCe Sabathia, right? You can't argue with Billy Wagner. You do Visual look Sandman. At this one thing. Who is the guy that looked at Ichiro and said, yeah, no, we're going to make him wait. It's like, no, he's not a unanimous Hall of Famer. It's like, you fucking crazy?
Yeah.
It's like, you should be drug tested. Not only should you be drug tested, you might want to, is it, if it's a Dan Le Batard situation, just take the vote away. Come on now. 3,089 hits, 117 home runs. Yeah. Okay. He didn't hit a lot of home runs. That wasn't his job on the Mariners. His job was to be a premier table setter.
He could do it.
Yeah.
Oh, I seen it.
Ichiro is like
batting
Wade Boggs.
Practice was a joke.
Yeah.
Batting practice was a joke.
Wade Boggs said the same thing. I could hit upper tanks too if I wanted to. That's my game. I could totally master that. But Ichiro didn't need to. Defensively, excellent. Cannon for an arm. Could steal bases. Yeah, you know, he's just merely...
Came close to breaking DiMaggio's streak.
Came close. Yes. Yeah, but he is as close to a unanimous Hall of Famer as you can get. So I have no problem with any of these guys. They did, finally, all three of these guys exceeded 80%. You only need 75% to get in. All three of these guys were like total no-brainers this year. So that's a good sign if you're on the ballot right now. Because the next two closest players, and I'm not even looking to the class of 26, right? I'm looking to the guys who are on the ballot who are in striking distance right now. Carlos Beltran, I believe, is at 71%. He can't jump 4% next year. I think Carlos Beltran can do that with a little closer, a little closer inspection and having these names off the books. I think that would certainly help him. Andrew Jones. Andrew Jones is, I think, 60%. So Andrew Jones is a Hall of Famer in my book. I think that he's eventually going to get there too. But these guys are long, they're well-deserving. And, if you look at Wagner, yes, he didn't have the best postseason moments. But if Trevor Hoffman is in, then Billy Wagner is in. Because Mariano Rivera is in. And Mariano Rivera is head and shoulders above those two guys. So,
you're talking about head and shoulders based on their postseason record, right?
And based on regular season performance, too. Like, yeah, Trevor Hoffman's great. That's fantastic. Nobody was as dominant as Mariano Rivera. So, like, we'll add a tier to this. Like, they're in the B tier. Like, Rivera's in the A tier. But Billy Wagner's definitely deserving to be in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely. Notwithstanding his time with the Mets. When he was just like,
these two guys. Oh, yeah. I mean,
422 career saves for Billy Wagner. Pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, the thing... I'm just saying that Billy's got Mo in strikeouts, surprisingly. And Billy's pitched 300 less innings.
Well, Rivera wasn't always going for the strikeout. He was going for the broken bat.
Like, I'm just saying. He played in 300 less games than Mariano. He has 20 less losses than Mariano. Their ERAs are pretty much the same, 2.31 and 2.21. My whole thing is, I'm trying to say, is Mariano's got him in the postseason. No doubt. Billy Wagner could close games for me. He can close games for me. And he's a lefty. I don't have a problem with Billy Wagner.
I don't have a problem with Billy Wagner either. I've seen Billy Wagner. I saw Billy
Wagner. I met Billy Wagner.
You met Billy Wagner. That's true.
I fucking met him, which is awesome. Yeah. And next time I'm going to get him to sign a ball.
I had Wags on my team. So I know what Wags can do, and I know what
Wags can do. Yeah, I mean, he's the original Sandman. But, you know, you had a ballot. I mean, listen, these are the three guys that got my vote on the ballot. You're right. Some people voted for Beltran. Some people voted for Andrew Jones. There's a lot of Basorda on the ballot this year. You had Bobby Abreu, Mark Burley, Carlos Gonzalez, Curtis Granderson. I don't know what Curtis Granderson. Felix Hernandez is going to be an interesting one. Torii Hunter, Adam Jones, Ian Kinsler, nope. Yeah, Russell Martin, nope. Brian McCann, nope.
No.
Dustin Pedroia was another one people were talking about. Pettit was another one people were talking about.
Only 27.2%.
Hanley Ramirez, nope. Manny Ramirez, you know, that's the whole... Fernando Rodney, I don't know. Alex Rodriguez is another one they're talking about. Francisco Rodriguez, he had a pretty long run. Jimmy Rollins, I don't know. Troy Tulo, no.
No.
Chase, no. Omar Vizquel, very talented. Oh, and the fucking legendary David Wright. I mean, I don't know. That's going to be, that guy. Holy shit. You seen him play third base? Man. And Ben Zobrist. So, I don't know. Those are the three guys that have got my vote. I would have voted for Sabathia, Ichiro, and Billy. Yeah.
So, there are plenty of players on here who are just in the first throw of things, like Chase Utley. 39.8. I expect Chase Utley to go up. I don't know if he's going to reach 75, but I think cases will be made for a guy like Chase Utley. Just for the way he played the game. He played close to the edge, sometimes over.
Yeah.
And he was a guy you did not want to play against. Very much like Jimmy Rollins. I think Jimmy Rollins will get a closer look. Like, some of the guys, you're absolutely right. Like, you know, Curtis Granderson, nice guy. Decent player, decent to good player, had his moments, doesn't ring the bell for me. David Wright is a cautionary tale of what could have been.
The batting average for Curtis Granderson alone is not going to get him in. He didn't hit well. He didn't hit well.
No. Now, Mark Burley's interesting because he's got a perfect game. He's got a no-hitter. He's got creds. So he may get one of those longer looks, and he may eventually get in on a player's ballot sometime in the future. I definitely think he'll be under consideration.
So Jason Stark actually wrote an interesting article about how he is not voting for Chase Utley or Dustin Pedroia. He will not vote a second baseman in until Lou Whitaker gets in.
Interesting. That's fair. Lou Whitaker was one of the perennial second basemen of the 80s.
Yeah, but see, he's good. He's not great. And that's the debate we have all the time. It's like, so Lou Whitaker, 75 WAR, 100, 117 OPS. Right. Chase Utley, 64.5 WAR, 117 OPS. Dustin Pedroia, 51.9 WAR, 113 OPS. You can't put Chase Utley in unless you put Lou Whitaker in. And if you put Lou Whitaker in, Z, you got to put Don Mattingly in. This is the problem, right? Is like, if you go and start putting these guys that were really good, it raises the question, well wait a minute. Like,
and if you put Don Mattingly in, you got to put Keith Hernandez in.
Yes. The guy who won an MVP award, I believe, with just 9 home runs in a season, which is fucking ridiculous.
1979 co-MVP, yes.
So then if you put him in, well, now you put Dustin Pedroia in, right?
Right.
And then if you put Dustin Pedroia in, then you're putting Johan Santana. Like, it just goes on and on. This is why it's the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Very Good, not the Hall of Great. It's the Hall of Fame. He's, unfortunately, as good as Lou Whitaker was, Lou Whitaker doesn't get to go into the Hall of Fame. It's just, I'm sorry. Just some of these guys, it's unfortunate, but this is what your Ring of Honor is for. This is what your high school and colleges are for. That's what that's for. It's for those B-level player. I wouldn't say B-level, maybe A-minus player.
Yeah.
Like, I think Lou did win a World Series. But
sure did.
He wasn't the best player on that team, right? I would say
Alan Trammell.
Trammell was, who just really had a good series, right? Because he wasn't that great of a, even though I think he is a Hall of Famer.
He's a solid, dependable player. He eventually became a Hall of Famer. Peter Gammons right, was on that train for years.
But he wasn't lights out. I mean, people weren't going to the ballpark to see Trammell play, and when he played on the road, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
So it's what it is. But no, this draft class, I think we're in agreement. They did a good job. We're all in on it.
Yeah. Now let's look at the notable 2026 first-time Hall of Fame candidates. And let me see. I'm going to test you and see at first blush, yes or no. I have one. Potentially one. Let me see what you think.
Yeah.
Ryan Braun? Yeah.
Fuck no.
Shin-Soo Chu.
No.
Edwin Encarnacion.
Negative.
Gio Gonzalez.
Who?
Alex Gordon.
Fuck no.
Cole Hamels?
No.
Matt Kemp.
No.
Howie Kendrick.
No.
Nick Markakis.
No.
Daniel Murphy.
No.
Hunter Pence.
No.
Rick Porcello.
No.
Neil Walker.
Absolutely not.
My one maybe was Cole Hamels.
Yeah, I could see that, but no. Well, he got one World Series, right?
Yeah. So that really opens things up for your Joneses, your Beltrons, your Utlings.
It's okay if we go a year and we don't put anybody in. It's okay. Like, we don't have to induct someone every year. Let it be special. Let it. Come on. Wait. What are we gonna do? Put Hunter Pence's name next to Tony Gwynn? Like, what? What are we doing, man? Like, come on.
What was that, in 2020 or 2021 when we didn't induct anybody and then Craig Biggio got inducted? It was I think it was 2020. But that was a different scenario. You know, like, it doesn't, you don't have to. But with all the different ballots, and you also have the Ford Frick Awards, and you have, you know, these other eras that you're looking into now that we've integrated Negro League statistics, maybe we're going to start looking at Negro League players. So, you know, it tells the story of the game. It does.
If you're voted in by your peers, I'm okay with that too. Like, that's fine with me. You know, that's the best, you know, compliment. But don't look for me to vote for you as a spectator or as a fan, as a writer, or anybody in the media.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
But we had an exciting round of football over the weekend, and the wildest game was the Lions losing to the Commies. The Lions had 5 turnovers and could not stop rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels and the Commies offense, losing 45-31. Dan Campbell didn't lose the game, but he took all the blame in the press conference. His teary eyes could be seen as early as late in the third quarter when he literally was running out of ideas and running out of answers. Last year, the Lions got to the NFC title game. This year, they lost in the divisional round. In his closing press conference, Dan Campbell said the window is not closing for the Lions. It's still wide open. Z, do you see that window is still wide open?
He also lost his offensive coordinator, and we're going to talk about that later. Ben Johnson is going to be the head football coach of the Chicago Bears, so it's something to note. Is it closing? It's certainly not as easy as it was this year, right? This was the best chance they were going to get. They were fucking steamrolling people. How many 50 burgers did they put up this year? Like, they were humming on all cylinders. That defense was they were flying. They were buzzing. And then Aiden Hutchinson got hurt. And then McNeil got hurt. And then Anzalone got hurt, but then Anzalone came back. And then how many members of their secondary got hurt?
Yeah, 21 guys on IR.
21 guys on IR. Now, you know, you play who's on your roster, right? That's just the nature of the beast. Football is a game of attrition. But that's a lot. 21 guys on IR. That's not including David Montgomery, who was injured and who returned for the playoffs. So,
did he even play this past weekend? I don't remember seeing him get the ball.
He didn't do much. He absolutely did. He had 7 carries for 28 yards. So, like, that's where that was. But
stellar.
Yeah. Now, credit to Dan Quinn. Credit to Jaden Daniels. Credit to the Commies. They came to play, and they took it from the Lions. Right? You had Jared Goff, who was playing like Jared Goff from the Rams, and, you know, multiple turnovers, a pick six, which may or, you know, it probably should have not been a pick six because of that hit, but so the refs kind of, you know, didn't help matters with that, but, you know, completely out of sorts. They had 12 men on the field on a fourth down. Like, the Lions were completely, like, outclassed.
Somebody said they're a Matt Stafford away from winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, shit. Trade his ass back.
That was funny.
Well, I mean, Jared Goff probably gets that ball in on fourth down. I'm just saying, if they swapped roles on Sunday, if Stafford was in the game on Saturday and Goff was in the game on Sunday, those respective teams probably win.
I don't know. It's tough to throw the ball in the snow.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think it is closing, man. I do. You know, you're going to be healthier next year, but Packers are the youngest team in the league, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got to figure out Minnesota was very competitive this year. Ben Johnson's going to the Bears. That offense is going to be better. You would think that the 49ers are going to compete next year. You think the Cardinals are coming back. Like, your window is closing because it's just going to get – your competition's going to get better. It's going to get harder. You know, you were steamrolling people this year. You got hurt.
But is that a product of the style?
Yeah,
Does Dan Campbell need to change who he is?
I think he needs to mature as a coach. Can't be crying on the sideline in the third quarter, dude. Like, dude was crying in the third quarter. Like, he, you could see the tears in his eyes because they, we can't stop them. It's great that we're scoring too, but I don't have an answer. I'm out of players. And I can't believe this is happening. Like, I just cannot believe this is happening right now.
So, Aaron, what are we going to do? Well, I have an interview with the Jets, then I got an interview with the Saints. I got an interview with the Jaguars. I can't help you, buddy.
I don't give a shit what you do. I'm getting out of here. Like, and that's the thing is, like, you don't, right? He's losing two coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do think it's closing. I do think they might have one more shot at it, but I think, to be honest with you, probably last year was the best opportunity. This year, they were out without their best defensive player. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is a big time. I mean, their offense is good. They got big time players, but again, you gonna keep that hunger? You gonna keep that tenacity?
They're gonna want to get paid.
I don't know if you can keep it going. It's a tough division. It's a tough league, and Dan Campbell's got to change his message up, right? You can't do the same thing you did the last 2 years and think you're going to get the same, like, result, right?
No.
It's not. You got to change it up. You've got to inspire people. You've got to get people on board. I don't know. I think he's a good coach, but is he a great coach? He's a motivator of men, but can only motivate people so much. So, yeah, I'm going with it's closing.
Right. Well, it's an incomplete because we don't know who's replacing Johnson. We don't know who inevitably replaces Aaron Glenn. If they kind of tone things down a little bit and then know how to pace themselves, I think that they can keep the window open. You mentioned the Packers. The Packers are young. I don't see the Packers as much of a threat. You know, we see them. They have a ceiling. The Packers definitely have a ceiling as of right now. The Bears, you know, we'll see what Johnson does. I don't know. I still need to see more from Caleb Williams. Yes, Johnson will probably give them a little bit more offensive creativity. What are they going to be on the defensive side of the ball? I don't know. What's Caleb Williams as a quarterback in this league? So far, he's eh. We'll see what he can do with that. The Vikings settle the quarterback situation. Is it Sam? Is it JJ? Figure that out and then get back to me. The Niners?
It's going to be JJ. It's going to be JJ. I think Sam's going to go to the Raiders.
So, well, that keeps them in last place. So that's easy. The Niners.
But that's okay. But that's okay for the Raiders to finish in last place because next year is the quarterback draft. It's fine. That's what they want. It's fine. Sam will be a bridge. You're in rebuild mode if you're a Raider, too. You traded away all your best players.
If you want to stay in a rebuild mode, stay with Aiden O'Connell. Like, he'll guarantee you the number one pick.
You want to compete. You can't compete with that guy. Even though
he's competing. He's trying.
He's one of two quarterbacks who have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs in the last couple of years.
Just fucking nuts. It's absolutely absurd. But sticking with NFC, right? You have the Niners. See, to me, the Niners window is closing.
Oh, that window is closed.
Yeah. So
it's closed. I'm just saying they're going to compete, though.
I don't even know if they're going to compete, man.
They're going to compete. They're going to compete, especially if Robert Saleh comes back and coaches the defense.
Yeah, but
they're going to compete.
When does McCaffrey get hurt? When does Debo get hurt? When does Ayuk get hurt?
McCaffrey's out next year. He's starting on the pup. He retore something. Yeah. He's an afterthought. But they're still able to run the ball, and if Robert Saleh comes back, they're gonna play defense. I mean, that's the big thing. It's like, can you stop people? Robert Saleh is the coach of the 49ers defense, stop people. Like, stop them.
He does.
And I believe he's gonna have two or three of those guys still there, like Fred Warner and Ward, like those guys played for him before. So, yeah, I do think defensively they're going to be fine. Offensively, they'll figure it out. They're a running team anyway, but they're not going to have Ayuk. I wouldn't be surprised if they traded for like a wide receiver or they drafted a wide receiver because, let's face it, you can't put Debo Samuel in the backfield and think he's going to play 16 games.
No.
You can't do that, man.
Yeah.
Kittle. Oh. I think they move Kittle, too, because Kittle, I think Kittle's up for a new contract.
Yeah. So that team is completely in flux. I don't think they're going to be any good. You're looking at the Rams. The Rams are in flux too. Is Stafford retiring? Are you going to trade Kupp?
Retires, but how about that? How about they're going to trade Kupp? Absolutely.
You trade Kupp to the Steelers.
How about that Rams defense?
Uh huh.
Damn, young guys.
Yep.
Getting after it, man.
That Jared Verse, Byron Young, you got players out there. You know, maybe they keep Jimmy G. Like, you know, kind of like a steady Eddie type guy. And you just kind of augment how you do things a little bit if Stafford decides to hang him up. Because you know what? Matthew Stafford is held together with like duct tape and a wish at this point. So that's kind of what's going on with him. The Cardinals, maybe they're better. We'll see. The East, it's the Eagles. It's the Eagles and the Commanders. So, like, but next year you have to worry, does Jaden Daniels, do the Commanders slip back? Like, this year, this was all about everything is new. New owner, new coach, new quarterback. They didn't see you coming. Next year, they're going to see you coming. How do you adjust?
Right.
And is Cliff Kingsbury going to be there? Is he going to go on? Is he going to have another coordinator? There are lots of question marks. And we're still very much in that time period. But it's hard to say that the Lions don't have a shot at this thing. And at the end of the day, they could absolutely be back on top. Are they going to be 15-2 good? No.
No.
This No. But they'll still be good enough to compete at a high level. Nobody saw 15-2 coming. And if you did, you're lying. So, like, that's kind of where we are in that.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. But, you know, we didn't give enough credit to the Commanders. You know, Daniels, solid as a rock. Brian Robinson, man, 77 yards, 2 tutties. Like, solid. Like, they didn't do anything spectacular. Like, nobody had what you would call, he didn't have a Saquon Barkley game, right? They didn't have a 200-yard rusher. They didn't have a 100-yard receiver. They just got it done. They just went in there, went into Ford Field, they went to a hostile environment, and they got it done. That's a credit to Dan Quinn, that's a credit to Jaden Daniels, and that's a credit to all those guys on that roster. Now, from that game, let's backtrack a little bit to the Saturday afternoon game. So both of us agreed that Texans-KC would have been the worst game of the weekend, and it was. Mostly in part due to the officiating. Probably about 70% due to the officiating. There were two roughing the passer calls that both guys in the booth felt were unnecessary. Troy Aikman said the thing. Troy Aikman was exasperated and said, "Oh, come on." Like, good for you, Troy. He said the thing. So, is Patrick Mahomes doing what every diva quarterback has done before him, or has it gone too far?
Listen, I think you have to give him credit. He's taking advantage of the system. Even when he's running out of bounds, he slows down, kind of tries to lean up against the defender that's coming behind him. He waits for the last second to slide. You know, I think he's taking advantage, but it's almost impressive. You have to almost admire him for it. It stinks, but this is what the NFL is now. You know, they protect the quarterback at all costs. It's not very consistent because I think he gets the benefit of the doubt more than anybody else. I mean, we saw Stafford get cracked. We saw Jared Goff take a shot, headshot. Like, we saw quarterbacks this weekend get no call, no love. And this guy, I mean, sometimes they're not even hitting him in the head. It just looks that way, and he's getting the call.
Two Texans players hit each other, and they got a roughing the passer call.
Yes, this is true.
It's like, how do you see that and say, oh no, roughing the passer? At no point. And my question to you, at what point does Patrick Mahomes become a runner? At what point is it okay to level his ass? Like, yeah, because Lamar Jackson would have gotten destroyed And they were just scooped him up with a spatula and put him back in the huddle.
And the funny thing is in that second roughing the passer penalty, that is a move that Lamar does. He just ducks down, goes down. And usually two guys use their helmet to put him down, and we get up and we do it again. So, you know, the only thing I would say is I didn't have a problem with the calls. Well, I texted you when it happened because it's just tough. It's tough to go in there and get to third down and get, you know, you're coming off the field and then you see this flag and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, you know, because Will Anderson wasn't even going at him hard.
No.
He didn't go at him hard. He didn't complete it. He actually pulled himself up, put his hands up, and nope, didn't matter. You hit him. So it's almost like you've got to go in there knowing, okay, we're playing the Chiefs, but we're also playing ourselves, and we're also playing the refs.
Yeah.
Like, these are the things that you have to go into the game thinking. And it's tough. It's not for everybody. You have to be on your game. You can't be turning the ball over, which I don't think the Texans did. I don't think the Texans turned the ball over. They played actually a very clean game. It's just that, you know, they weren't able to overcome their penalties of roughing the passer.
Those were the three pass. Those were the three egregious moments of the game. Now, Kaimi Fairburn missing the extra point and two field goals, kicking a rock in Kansas City in freezing conditions. Yeah, okay. That's difficult. That's a difficult task to be put on Kaimi Fairbairn. But he has done it before. So I can understand why D'Amico Ryans would go for that. You're chasing points. Good. You know, like, it happens.
Which one? You talking about the plus 50-yarder?
That one is a little much.
It was 58 yards. The winds were over 20 miles per hour, and it's cold. I didn't agree with that one. He had one blocked, too.
And then he missed the extra point, yeah.
And then he missed an extra point.
Yeah.
And then they gave up a 70-yard return. Special teams was awful.
Special teams was not great. And then you have the Chris Boyd shoving the special teams coordinator. Not a good look for the Texans. Like, that's really the blip on their radar, right? Because offensively, they played pretty well. Defensively, outside of those three joke penalties, they played solid. They outgained the Chiefs by close to 100 yards.
All the teams that had more total yards this weekend lost.
Unreal.
They all lost. The teams that were outgained won. Crazy, right?
It's, well, you know, at the end of the day, what's it about? Is it about gaining yards or scoring points? You find ways to score points. And that's the thing. You have to put points on the board. You're put in advantageous situations, like the Texans put the Chiefs in with the horrible special teams, it's easier to score points. You don't have to matriculate down the field, as Hank Stram once said. If I'm already on the 50, right? Because I freaking missed a field goal, I'm already on the 50. Shit, my job's easy. Two plays, I'm in the end zone.
Well, that was the other part. You know, they miss that field goal, and then they give Mahomes short field. I mean, listen, going into that game, we kind of knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
I thought defensively they hung in there, and then offensively they didn't turn the ball over, but, you know, Slowick wasn't ready for all the blitzing. You know, they are coming. They are fucking coming, and the Texans weren't ready for it. And credit to Stroud, who I thought played a decent game because he didn't turn the ball over. But he also didn't come away with a win, and that was a winnable game. So, but, you know, moving over to the AFC, the other AFC game, the Ravens did everything they could to lose to the Buffalo Bills, and they were successful in losing to the Buffalo Bills. 25-27 regulation. Lamar had a fumble, an interception. Mark Andrews had three drops and a fumble loss. Lamar Jackson had an MVP season with Derrick Henry rushing for over 1,000 yards, and they could not get past the Bills in the divisional round. Last year, they were the class of the AFC and lost at home to the Chiefs in the conference championship. I was there. So, Z, is it time to accept that Lamar Jackson is just a great regular season quarterback?
Derrick Henry also had a key drop.
Yes, he did.
He did. So, you posed a question to me. You texted me. Was last year's Ravens team better? Based on the results, yes. Only because they got farther. But in terms of how they played, this Ravens team, in my opinion, was more formidable. Right? Because you have Derrick Henry, because you have that offensive scheme, which is centered around Derrick Henry, you got away from it. That's a problem. Right? On the two-point conversion, let's look at that two-point conversion in question. Rolling out right. Andrews is falling. That's a tough ask. That's a tough ask right there. Hitting a moving target who's falling to the ground, who's had some drops and a lost fumble. Just pound the rock with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, but that's their play call. That's their two-point call. That's the play they've been running all season. It's not, you can't stop it. You can't. And he was falling because he's a fucking idiot. There's no reason to fall. Just stay on your fucking feet. Lamar could have threw the ball a little better, but
it was in, hit him in the hands. Hit you in the hands. You got to catch that.
I've been watching Raven games all season. That's their play. They roll out right. They send both their tight ends doing out patterns, and they send Mark Andrews out of the backfield. Somebody's open, and if nobody's open, Lamar can run it in, because that means there's nobody covering Lamar. So it's a very formidable play. I didn't have a problem with the play call. I had a problem with the fucking guy didn't catch it. I mean, that's what it comes down to. They didn't execute. You can't go into Buffalo and turn the ball over three times. They outgained Buffalo. They outplayed Buffalo. Allen only threw the ball a handful of times. He didn't have to.
No.
He didn't have to. I had an interesting stat I found today. This is on CBS Sports, citing my sources. So, the Buffalo Bills they turn over the ball the lowest percentage of plays with a fumble, interception, or a sack since 1970. 4.2% of their total offensive plays result in either a fumble, an interception, or a sack. That's damn impressive.
Yeah.
That's damn impressive.
They don't beat themselves.
Right. So Allen is having one of the most efficient seasons as a quarterback, because he's not turning the ball over, he's not taking sacks, and he's also handing the ball off, which we've been saying for 2 years now. Hand the ball off. And when he needs to be Superman, he is. But he's not turning the ball over, and that's the difference. You went up against a team, you went into their house and in their weather. When Lamar put the ball on the ground, Andrews put the ball on the ground.
Lamar threw
Derrick Henry had a drop. Andrews had three drops. And you were in position to send the game. And that's the other thing, Z. He could have caught that ball. They could have tied the game. They could have still lost the game in overtime. There's no guarantee that they're going to come out on top. You know, the bottom line is like, he and Lamar really could have solidified his legacy, right, with that drive. Because he was actually beautiful on that drive. He was perfect. He threw some beautiful passes. He made the right decisions, the right reads. And the touchdown pass to Likely was beautiful. But, you know, at the end of the day, like we talk about Aaron Rodgers, you got to close in those minutes. You've got to find a way to either deliver a better pass to Andrews or get that score. And, you know, despite the three turnovers, they were still in the game, but they didn't win the game. And that's it. That's what it comes down to.
Even if they were to convert, you still mismanage this because it's a minute 33 left on the clock. You see how much time you left Josh Allen and James Cook?
All right.
That's a problem. That's a major league problem. Now, they've been revamping Lamar Jackson's weapons. They got him Bateman. They got him Flowers, who didn't play.
No Flowers in that game.
No Flowers. You got Likely. You had Andrews. You brought in Derrick Henry. You're starting to run out of the Lamar doesn't have weapons. The group of people who still are on the Lamar doesn't have enough weapons train, you don't have a leg to stand on. And speaking of legs, Lamar's got legs. He can run. Like, that's another valuable weapon that he has. So eventually, it's got to come down to what can he realistically do, right? What can Lamar, what system, what scheme, what plays can he run in this time to maximize his moments, to maximize this time that he has? Because like you said, like we're on record, he's not the best downfield passer, right? He's very, very much West Coast, like outs, middle of the field. He's not throwing. He doesn't have an arm like Josh Allen. He's not going to throw it 60 yards, 70 yards in the air. Never seen it. Maybe he can. I don't know.
And what a complete turnaround for Josh Allen, right?
Yeah.
I mean, coming out of the draft, you know, Buffalo Bills fans were upset because they were like, man, this kid is a wild thrower, turns over the football, and even the first couple of years in the league, there's a turnover machine.
Yeah.
Fumbling, interceptions, awful. And somehow, some way, Joe Brady has got him under control. But, I mean, what will that mean for this weekend? I mean, they've already beat Kansas City once, but now you got to go in there. So you got to beat Kansas City for a second time. And, you know, this is what gets us to our next topic here, is the championship games are now set with the Chiefs versus the Bills and the Eagles versus the Commies. I mean, we'll do our picks later, but which game is more appealing to you? Which game are you looking forward to watching?
Well, let's see. I'm going to hate watch Commies Eagles. I'm just going to hate watch it. It's like the Commies have my quarterback and the Eagles have my running back. Like that's what I'm going to, like, motherfuckers. Like, I'm just going to be mumbling motherfucker at the TV. So there's that. The AFC title game, I think, is going to be a better football game. I think from, like, in terms of X's and O's, presentation, like, the stakes of it all, like, at the end of the day, in the NFC, you have a 2-seed against a 6-seed. So, take that for what it's worth. Here is 1-2. This is exactly what you were hoping for. Now, you got Josh Allen. You have the underlying storyline of, can they slay the dragon? Can they move on to the Super Bowl? Can they ascend to where people think they should be? Considering the fact that at the beginning of the year, like, we couldn't identify their players if they were wearing their own jerseys. Like, that's kind of where we were. You see, you lose Stephon Diggs, you lose Gabe Davis, and then you're in the AFC title game. That's pretty impressive. That's a good job by McDermott. It's a good job by Brandon Bean. It's a good job by the players. I really want to see Buffalo go toe-to-toe with Kansas City. I want Buffalo to go and not be afraid. I want Buffalo to go and be themselves, be the team that they can be. Because if they go in there expecting to get hosed by the refs, if they go in expecting to, you know, just play hard against Kansas City and whatever happens, happens, they're going to get smoked. Right? They can't be overly effusive. I want to liken this to when the Jets went to play the Steelers in the AFC title game. Rex Ryan went out of his way to kiss the Steelers' ass. And then what happened? They got their asses kicked. So, keep it civil, but you can't go in thinking you're that undermatched, because you're not. And you already knocked them off in the regular season. Commies, Eagles, third time division, you know how it goes. We've said that a million times. Eventually, the answers will be there. Like, what do they have left? That's the question. That's what you're looking for when you're looking at the NFC title game. It's like, what are they going to have for the other team that they haven't seen yet? Because it's the third time around. Bills Chiefs is going to be a slugfest, and that's the one that I got my popcorn for, and that's the one that I'm going to be watching intently.
Yeah, to me, I'm not interested. I haven't seen a competitive or exciting game between the Chiefs and another team all season. So I'm more interested in seeing the Eagles against the Commies. It's a division game, so these guys know each other really well. This is I-95. This is the third time they're facing each other this year. Dan Quinn's a damn good coach. I really want to see what he's cooking up to try to stop Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and Saquon Barkley. My guess is that he is going to take away Saquon Barkley and make Jalen Hurts pass the football and try to frustrate A.J. Brown and make them go to the more slender receiver in Smith. That would be what I would think he would do. And then offensively, I think he's going to tell Cliff Kingsbury, let the kid rip. Let it rip. Rip. We're gonna throw the fucking ball all over the field. And if they beat us, they beat us. But we're going to just throw the ball all over this damn field and try to score like over 30 points. I think Dan Quinn's a better coach than Nick Sirianni. And I think the Eagles actually have the better players. And I do think they are probably the better team. But Jaden Daniels, he could just be special right now. And I think it's a high-scoring game. And I think it comes down to Dan Quinn stopping Jalen Hurts and the Eagles at the end. And I think that's what it'll come down to if the Commies were to win the game.
Now, and let's talk about this, because the Eagles are damn lucky to be in this game. They are damn lucky. If Matthew Stafford wears a fucking glove, the Rams are probably in the championship game.
But listen, hats off to Matt Stafford for him. I mean, he really played a hell of a game. He played a hell of a game. The throw to Puka Nacua
on fourth down.
Unbelievable pass. An unbelievable catch. Mm-hmm. My God. My God, what a throw. Ah. And I do think, there was some holding on that last play that, kind of made it impossible for him to throw the ball to Kieran Williams. But I think we both talked in live time. We didn't really care for the play calling on that last drive.
Yeah.
They had third and two. Just run the fucking
run the ball, man.
Just run the ball, man. But he is a tinier running back. I kind of get that, but it was the Rams played a lot better than I thought they were going to play. I thought they were going to come into Philly and get their ass handed to them. And there were at times when you were like, "Man, this is over. Man, this is over." But the Rams kept coming back.
Well, how
and
many
Stafford,
times? Bond
Stafford throwing the rock, man.
Bond with the strip. Jalen Carter with the strip. But, Matthew Stafford definitely had some ball security problems. Kyren Williams lost one, too. So the weather definitely played its role. And for a West Coast team to come east and deal with the elements the way they did was extremely impressive. And even, Matthew Stafford played Detroit. They play in a dome, people. So Matthew Stafford is not used to playing in elements like this.
Oh, he is. He played in – he even though he did play in a dome, he had to go outdoors to play Green Bay. He had to go outdoors to play Chicago.
And he had trash games.
The man's been tested. It's not his first time doing it. I mean, he had a real chance to create a little legend for himself if he was able to go there and beat them. And, man, he was really two plays away from doing it.
He was. And – You know, the play where they ruled Cooper Kupp out of bounds when he slid, they could have kept the clock running on that because he did slide in bounds and he just skidded because, yeah, it's snow and it's slippery. So it was the ref's discretion. They probably should have kept the clock running on that. But Sean McVay, like, come on now. You had ample time, and yes, you didn't have any timeouts left, but you can force the issue and force the Eagles to call timeout, right? You put the pressure on. You have.
I almost thought that the Eagles were going to give them the touchdown because they were moving the ball so well.
Yeah,
and it was like a minute. It was like a minute and 49 seconds, and I actually texted somebody else. I was like, just fucking let them score. Just get the ball back so you can kick a field goal to win the game.
Which is
like, nah, they gotta stop them here. And then all of a sudden it went from like they made the pass to Puka Nacua, and then you're like, oh man, they're rolling. And they lead another pass, and then they got stopped. And they got stopped again. And you're like, oh fuck, it's fourth down. Is this really gonna fall apart here?
Yeah. So yeah, it's just very questionable calls, and I don't want to say a lack of situational awareness, because Sean McVay has won a Super Bowl. So, like, he's very aware. But, it could have been run better, because the Eagles were there to be had. And you let them off the hook. You absolutely let them off the hook. But, you know,
That Rams defense was balling. They were flying around. They were stopping people.
Now, what takeaways can you, as the commies, what can you extract from that, right? Because Saquon was the entire offense.
Take him away.
Yeah, that's what you.
Take him away, and we'll live. We will live with a 300-yard pass meme from Jalen Hurts. We'll live with that
if he can do it. Yeah, sure.
We'll win a shootout. We'll live with a shootout. But we are not going to let this guy run for 200 yards. We are going to take him away and force them to throw the ball in the cold in Philadelphia. And if they beat us, they beat us. They're going to beat us doing what they don't do best.
Right.
And that's the Dan Quinn way. And I think that's what we're going to see.
You neutralize the tush push. You neutralize Saquon Barkley.
I don't know if they're even going to be tush pushing because he's got a head injury. He's still beat up.
They'd started to do the direct snap to Barkley. So that one is definitely – maybe they got something special. You know, like I said before, it is their third time meeting. So – if you got something they haven't seen yet, now be the time to do it. Like, kind of almost
Dan Quinn against Cliff Kingsbury. Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury against Nick Sirianni and
Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore,
a future head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Kellen Moore. But I think he's going to get his interview. But the coaching advantage is definitely on the Commies. You know, Sirianni's more likely to get into a fight with his own fans than outcoach Dan Quinn.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. AirCare Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly, or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact AirCare Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547. AirCare Technicians, 914-315-1547. So, the Ohio State Buckeyes are the national champions, finally, on January 21st.
It's finally over.
The Buckeyes beat the Irish 34-23 in what looks like a close game, but it really wasn't. At what point the quote-unquote game was 31-7? Did the Buckeyes win the national championship, or did they win the college football playoff? Because is there a difference?
Well, let's see. I mean, who would you like? What would that be, though? You know, like, was there any? Like, was there any team left that you that could have laid claim to this? Like, remember, like, James Madison a couple years ago, right? Or UCF a couple years ago. Where it's just like, yeah, we didn't get a chance to play in the tournament. We were undefeated, motherfucker. So guess what? You never got to play us. So who knows?
No. That's not what, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, they were able to navigate this season, right?
Right.
They lose to Michigan. And then they go on to play Oregon. They go on to, you know, they beat a Tennessee team. They navigate the college football playoff, and that's why they're left standing.
Well,
Notre Dame, who did Notre Dame beat this year? Who did they beat? They beat Indiana?
Penn State.
Okay. Penn State, yeah. Okay. Ohio State arguably beat six teams that were top 10. Like, they just had the stamina and they had the wherewithal to get through the college football playoff. And that's the problem, right? It's like, in my head, when you play college basketball, right, you play in the NCAA tournament. And before that, you play in the Big East tournament, or you play in your conference tournament. Mm-hmm. It's a tournament sport, and that's how we decide who's going to win. You have to pretty much win, what is it, 8 games in concession to actually claim the championship, right? But that's not how football is, right? Football is, at least college football isn't. It hasn't been for a number of years. It comes down to usually 1 versus number 2, right? And then a couple years ago, we moved to a playoff system with 4 teams, and it's pretty much been 1 versus 2.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's what it is. That's what it comes down to. But in this, we had 12 teams, 8 of which probably didn't deserve to be there. They're there. And of those 8 teams, what, 7 winds up playing 8. Right? Isn't that what we got? Or we got 6 playing 7? Something like that.
7 playing... it was 7 playing 8 in the tournament. Like, that was their tournament seeding. But if you look at the overall... I think Ohio State was, what, number 2 in the country? Notre Dame was number 4? I'm pretty sure. So if we're looking at that, I think it's a little bit clearer. And, you know, it definitely... It seems more of like an attrition, a battle of attrition.
I think a game between Oregon and Boise State would have been much more entertaining. I watched spots of the game. I didn't watch the whole game because I need to watch the whole game. It's the Buckeyes of Ohio State against Notre Dame, who didn't beat anybody. They didn't play anyone. The fucking team lost to Northern Illinois in the second or third game of the season at home. What, how, in what universe are they going to take on Big Ten Ohio State in a national championship game and beat them by any margin? We saw this shit happen a couple years ago, well, probably more than a couple years ago, when Alabama played Notre Dame and fucking throttled them.
They beat Brian Kelly so bad he developed a southern accent.
Right. So, you know, I think the committee got what they wanted, because you got Notre Dame, you know, and you got Ohio State in a national championship game.
I think they would have preferred Ohio State, Georgia. But hey, you know, Ohio State, Georgia
with Georgia's quarterback.
Yes. I think, but
not with, no.
Right.
No.
I think they would have preferred a healthy Carson Beck and right. Georgia. So you have the SEC and then you have the Big Ten. But
it's just like, I got through watching professional football over the weekend and I just didn't give a shit about the national championship game. And I kind of just penciled in Ohio State, and I had to put my kids to bed and do some fatherly things, and it was 21-7. And I was like, all right, this is over. There ain't no comeback. The Irish aren't coming back in this game. And yeah, they made a little rally, but the game was already over. It was already 31-7. Like, it was a wrap. Like, It wasn't entertaining unless you are from the Big Ten or love Notre Dame for some weird reason. It wasn't entertaining. It wasn't a good game. Ryan Day's a really good coach, and his team did what they were supposed to do. They took out the trash.
I mean, it's hard to say that Notre Dame is trash. It's hard to say that. Overall, like, they did finish the season as the fifth-ranked team in the entire nation. So they handle business. So,
Z, are they the fifth team in the entire nation, in your opinion?
Well, who
are they? Are they?
I don't see why. I don't think you put them as top five. That's fine.
You don't think that Texas would have beat the brakes off of Notre Dame?
Okay, so that's one. So who are you putting? Oregon, who lost Georgia, who probably would have won if their quarterback was healthy, but their quarterback was not healthy, and now their quarterback is the quarterback of the University of Miami. So there you go.
Oregon lost one game all year, and it was to Ohio State.
Okay, so they're in the top five. Like, Georgia's in the top five. Ohio State's in the top five. Texas is in the top five. That fifth spot is up for grabs. Why not Notre Dame? I'm not saying put them at one. Put them in the conversation. Like, who else? Penn State? No, clearly not.
No.
Any of those other teams? Like, maybe Arizona? No. Like, the playoff did its job. The teams that were supposed to be there were there. Now, some luck and a little bit of, you know, health. And if they iron out the kinks of it, it could be better. It could be a better product. We've gone through this in terms of what they can do to make it better. Not eliminate the 3 weeks between end of the season and when the top four seeds play. You're just setting them up for failure. So there's definitely room for growth. But yeah, I mean, I would say that Notre Dame's in the top five. I think that's fine. Like, if you put Notre Dame at five, I think people would be fine with it. Now, where do they go from here? They can use this in their recruiting, which is nice. We were just in the national title game, and we can get back there with your son. But there we go. You want to get back to the national title game? Help us. Here we go. Like, we're not that far removed. And let's be real here. Notre Dame's the real winners. All that money, who do they have to share it with? Nobody. They don't have a conference for football. So all that revenue goes right to the school. Kings of the bag, Notre Dame. Good job. Good for you. They don't have to split any damn thing. Ohio State got split with the Big Ten. Georgia split with the SEC. Notre Dame, independent, baby. Good for you. Good for you. Now, what to expect next year? You expect Alabama to be in the picture again. So maybe Tennessee's out, or Boise State, or, like, you know, one of the lesser, SMU. You figure one of those guys are out. Does this automatically become more competitive with Alabama? Sure does. But that's luck of the draw, right? That's the survival of the season. And that's kind of where the NCAA is. That's where college football is. It's attrition to get to the tournament. Much in the same way that college basketball is. But you don't have the luxury, you know, you don't have the luxury of the longer season to get it right. So you got to make sure you hit the ground running immediately and stomp guys out. Which Notre Dame did not do week one when they lost to Northern Illinois. Or when Michigan went in and beat Ohio State in the horseshoe. You can't afford slip-ups. But congratulations to Ryan Day. Congratulations to the Ohio State University. You exercised some demons. You got the monkey off your back. But don't be surprised if certain people in the maize and blue are still going to talk shit. Because, yeah, you may have won the chip, but you didn't beat them. That's college for you.
For all you grill masters, green thumbers, DIY aficionados, and home repair heroes in the Richmond, Virginia area, if you're looking for personal service quality products and a convenient shopping experience, then look no farther than Thacker Ace Hardware in Colonial Heights. Owner Don Rackley and his team of local experts have everything you need to tackle every project around the house. I'm talking Benjamin Moore paint, Milwaukee and Craftsman power tools, plumbing, electric, hardware, the works. For you green thumbers, their nursery department is top notch, and I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention the grills. They have Weber, Blackstone, Big Green Egg, Traeger. I want one of everything. Give them a call today at 804-766-4223 and see how they can assist you. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. That's Thacker Ace Hardware, 804-766-4223, or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. Thacker Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
Time to put some grades in. Welcome to the classroom. All right, boys and girls, time to take out your books, take out some paper, a little pencil, and get ready to take some notes because we are going into the classroom. We have some statements, and we're going to give a letter grade for those statements. Statement number one. Grade. The Toronto Blue Jays offseason.
I'm just giving them an incomplete, Z. I mean, they did sign Santander, which is, I think it's pretty impressive. But they got to make another move. I don't know if it's Bregman. I don't know if it's Pete Alonso. But the way the team is presently constituted, they ain't beating anybody. Like, they're not. I feel like everybody in the American League East is, like, on delay. Like, you can't think you're going to walk into this season and beat the Yankees. I don't see how. The Red Sox, the Jays, the Orioles. I don't know what the Orioles are doing. Obviously, Taylor's thinking.
I don't know what they're thinking.
So, yeah, I'm giving the Jays an incomplete now, right now. Especially they just missed on the Japanese pitcher, too. Like, who's throwing games for you guys? So, I don't really know. So, we'll see what happens. What do you got?
I don't believe for a second that Sasaki is ever going to the Blue Jays.
He said he was. He said it was between them,
the Padres, the Dodgers, and the Dodgers.
And the Padres.
Which one of these is not like the other?
Tough
one. Which one of these is not? You couldn't even say the Mariners, dude.
They missed on Teoscar Hernandez. I figured he was. I don't know what Shapiro's doing. I don't know what. You know, that would have been a. I think that would have been a clutch signing if you went and got Teoscar Hernandez. Like, all right, he's playing left. We got Vlad G. All right, we're okay now. It's just like Santander. I mean, he's all right.
And you traded for Andrés Giménez.
Yeah. Right?
Who's regressed in the past 2 years. So yeah. I got to give him a D, man. I got to give him a D. They were almost in on Tanner Scott. They were almost in on Suzuki. Sasaki. I was right the first time. So you're almost in on this guy. You're almost in. Dude, get in. I don't want to hear about almost. Like, you're in or you're out. Like, either you got them or you don't. Well, the Dodgers got everybody. So, how are you competing? You're not. You're not competing with the Yankees. What are you doing? What are you doing? You got Anthony Santander. Okay, good. You weaken the Orioles. Good job. So, you
or did they, right? Or did they, like, that's the other thing. It's like, if the Orioles weren't willing to re-sign this guy, like, what are the Orioles
thinking? With their new billionaire owner? Yeah. Interesting.
Like, that, Z, wouldn't you think that was, like, the priority going into the offseason? All right, we'll bring Santander back.
Yeah.
That makes the most sense in the world for us. we'll bring Burns back and we'll go get another pitcher.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's what we thought going into the offseason.
Right.
Nope.
Santander is one of the last people to sign, but he ain't going to the O's. Burns goes, I'd rather play in the fucking desert than play here. Adios, muchachos.
Oh, my God.
So
I don't know, man. Well, I just don't understand. I don't understand at all. But, I mean, with the Blue Jays, the whole question is, are you extending Vladdy or are you trading Vladdy? Like, that's the thing. Because Bichette is what Bichette is. Springer is who Springer is. You got Barrios, you got Bassett, you got, you know, you have pitchers. I hesitate to say good pitchers.
Guys who throw the ball from the mound is the more appropriate name for them.
Guys who have can generally throw the ball 60 feet 6 inches over the plate. Gausman, you know, you have a collection of guys. They brought in Jeff Hoffman. Ooh, Jeff Hoffman. The Braves passed on him because he was going to fail his physical. The Orioles passed on him because he's going to sign me up.
Sounds like a Blue Jay.
God damn it. Can we get Carlos Correa while we're at it? Like, this guy's got a bulky arm. We'll take him. What is this? What is this shit? So, absolute, you know, the only saving grace that keeps it from being an F is Santander. That is it. That's the only thing that's keeping it from being a complete fucking F. Now, if they somehow, you know, get in on Bregman, I don't know if there's necessarily a fit there, but, you know, if you get in on Bregman or you get in on Pete, I mean, that probably bumps you up a little bit. I don't know if you necessarily address your needs, but...
Yeah,
you certainly could got go more in firepower.
I just don't know what the plan is. Like, are they looking to compete? Are they not looking to compete? Like, I don't even know.
I don't know, and I don't think they can tell you either. It's just a holding pattern. It's just a holding pattern right now. What is your grade for the Bears hiring of Ben Johnson as their head coach?
I mean, when you look at the people that are out there, right, and who's available, and the talent that you have on your roster, the division you play in, what you're trying to accomplish, I would give them a B. You know, this is a first-time head coach. He seems like he's creative. He seems like he's got a lot of energy. I don't know if he could develop a young quarterback. We saw what he's able to do with Jared Goff, but Jared Goff was already an established quarterback. I mean, he spent time with the Rams. He got to a Super Bowl. He came to Detroit with something to prove. I don't know if that's what Caleb Williams is about. I dislike Cliff Kingsbury, but I still am very impressed what he was able to do this year with Jaden Daniels. So it's hard not to say, man, what would he do with Jaden Daniels 3.0, right? So I'm curious to see how he can run this team. The Bears have a lot of talent. But they've always been a defensive team. They have a chance to be explosive offensively. They could be very dangerous. So I'm going to give them a B. And only because I think Cliff Kingsbury or John Gruden or, you know, someone with a more established background might have been a better choice.
I'm going to give him a C+, mostly because I don't know how his offense translates outdoors for 8 games a season in Soldier Field. I don't know how that offense translates when you now have to throw the ball in 20 degree weather consistently. Caleb Williams, jury's out. You know, when you look at the numbers, he had a pretty good year, right? 20 touchdowns, 6 picks. Pretty darn good. 3,500 yards. Okay. It looks good. And then there are moments where everybody looks fucking lost. Everybody. What sport are we playing? What's going on here? So, as creative as Ben Johnson is, I just don't know. I need to see it in that environment. And you don't have St. Brown. You don't have Jameson Williams. You're not going to have Sam Laporta. Yes, you're going to have players. But the players that you have in Chicago compared to the players you have in Detroit aren't as... They're not as good. Keenan Allen's best days are behind him, right? For example. So, how are you going to infuse this team with talent to get you back up to the talent level in Detroit? Yes, you have Roma Dunze. What else can you get in there? Right? You're going to have to draft and develop players. If you can hit on a free agent wide receiver, if you trade for a wide receiver, that could be very interesting. Now, it also, I would also like to see who he brings in as his defensive coordinator. From what I understand, he's really like working the phones, bringing in a solid staff. I got to see who that guy is. Chicago has a reputation for being a defensive town. Like, it's all fine and dandy if you up the offense, but if you're suddenly like not at the defensive standard, you're going to be called to task. It's kind of like the Steelers in that regard. The Steelers have a certain standard they need to uphold. And anything that deviates from that gets called into question. So, Ben Johnson definitely has his work cut out for him. The good thing is that Eberflus was so bad that you can only go up. So, good for you. We'll see. We will definitely see. But, I mean, just in terms of potential, you give him a C+. Those are our grades. What are yours? Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutpodcast. Drop us a line on X @faderoutdnz and let us know your grades for these segments. But for now, class dismissed.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ. Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account @FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll @FadeRoutePodcast. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week?
Don't.
It was a tie. It was a tie between Sam Darnold and Justin Herbert. Yeah. Both were shitty performances, so you really can't distinguish between the two. So, Congratulations, guys. You get a split of the coveted Ash Trophy. You choose which end. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Legend Superstar of the Week? D.
All right. So first up, I've got tight end on the Baltimore Ravens, Mark Andrews. Likely to take Travis Kelce's spot in the Pro Bowl. He had 3 drops and a fumble in the division round of the playoffs. One of those drops was the potential game-tying 2-point conversion. Mark Andrews, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number 2, I've got quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson. 1 fumble and 1 interception in a divisional game against the Bills. 7 postseason losses when favored. Unable to win consecutive playoff games, but seems to win MVPs with ease. Lamar Jackson, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, the Golden State Warriors getting blowed out by Boston yesterday on your home floor. It is time to blow it up. Golden State Warriors, you are my alleged superstars of the week. What do you got, Z?
I mean, you can't argue with that. You can't argue with any of them.
Basura.
Complete and utter trash. I'm going to start with the Detroit Lions.
Detroit.
15-2 regular season. We hardly knew you. Adios, muchacho. 45-31, you're out. The Commanders sent you packing. Not only did the Commanders send you packing, but you had Jared Goff looking for his mouthpiece. Yeah, he threw for 313 yards, but he also had 3 picks. Now, yes, he threw 5 picks and you won a game during the regular season. You don't want to make that the norm. Yeah, you're injured. Everybody's injured this time of year. The commies came in to your house. The biggest game in the history of your franchise, right, where the expectations were the highest, and you spit the bit. Completely spit the bit. And the irony of it all, Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, they shared that moment. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Dan Campbell knew something we didn't. Apparently he had reservations for a flight to Cancun. So good job there, coach. Detroit Lions, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number 2, NFL officials. How many flags are you going to call in favor of Patrick Mahomes? It's starting to get absurd. It's getting to the point where announcers are openly talking about it. Former players are openly talking about it on social media. Former players are talking about it on television. It's the thing. People are saying the thing out loud. That's a problem. You're calling way too much attention to yourself. That's a major issue. You called a roughing the passer penalty where 2 Texans hit each other. What are you doing? And the third play where Mahomes just kind of like slows down, starts juking and hoping that, you know, he can draw contact. The NFL competition committee really needs to look into this. And, you know, is it possible that that is offensive unsportsmanlike conduct? Like something like that. Because the defense is already at a disadvantage. They don't need to be further at a disadvantage. So that might be something to consider. But egregiously bad calls at the worst possible time. NFL refs, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then, last but not least, the Toronto Blue Jays. Oh, we were in on Roki Sasaki, were you? We're in on this guy, were you? You finally got your guy, apparently, Anthony Santander, but you're the perennial bridesmaid this year. In free agency. You're linked to all these players. And I think you're talking to Alex Bregman now. Are you going to get anything done? The American League East is not such a two-horse race that you can't get in on this. But no, you're just... I don't know what you're doing. Obviously, Taylor thinking... I don't know what the hell he's thinking. But... get moving. Because... you kind of... Your team needs a lot of help. Toronto Blue Jays, you are my alleged superstar of the league. And a bonus. Major League Baseball in general. Tanner Scott went to the Dodgers. Kirby Yates went to the Dodgers. Roky Sasaki went to the Dodgers. This is absurd. It is absolutely absurd. Are there other teams here bidding? Because it's starting to get a little boring. Wake up and start doing something. It can't all be about sunshine and deferred money. Find a way to compete. Otherwise, this is going to be one of the most boring seasons of all time. This is going to be even more boring than 98. When the Yankees were just like drubbing people 17-0. Find a way to put a competitive product on the field. Please. Or else in 2026, the owners are going to lock your asses up. And then we'll reset everything and we'll figure it out again. Major League Baseball, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.